You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round to recap for the Northern Trust, and here to break down what was an unbelievable day of golf is Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
What was unbelievable about it?
Danny Lee jumped out to an early lead. We had a Danny Lee watch early on Friday. It was unbelievable. I love to see it.
And now, I mean, Danny Lee is now in tied fourth, and it seems that we have completely forgotten about him. I mean, what a day. Do you know the last time a 59 and a 60 were recorded in the same round?
I'm not sure it's ever happened, but I was looking at the strokes gained numbers, and I don't have the final numbers, but Dustin gained something like 9.5 strokes on the field today. And Scottie Scheffler gained a little over 10. And I could only find like one other instance of that. Or I think there was a couple where like two guys gained 9 strokes on the field in the same round. They're all PGA championships because you get the PGA professionals there. All of them are the first or the second round of the PGA championship. So this is like, these guys just lapped the field, obviously. And we'll talk more in depth about it, but that's kind of the historical aspect of this.
So I remember it happening once, and maybe there's a chance I'm missing something. I don't know what year this was. I got to look it up, but it's Paul Goidos. He shot 59 in the first round of the John Deere, and Steve Stricker shot 60 the same day. I remember that happening. I couldn't believe it. I said, I don't think this will happen again for a very long time. And
yeah, I think you're right about that. I just had all the sub 60 rounds up, but yes, I believe you are right. That's the scoring that day was out of control. And then we had a 59 and a 60, if I remember correctly. Let's start with the most recent guys. I mean, so this whole Friday, because Scottie Scheffler goes out in the morning and shoots a 59 and Dustin Johnson goes out in the afternoon, and shoots a 60, but he was on 59 watch. Like literally when Scottie tapped in for his 59, we were like on 54 watch for DJ because he was already like 5 under through 4 holes or something crazy. So like this whole day was consumed for 8 straight hours, Greg, of like, oh my gosh, we're going to have 2 sub 60 rounds.
59 watches are some of my favorite things to watch. They're fascinating because you get to see offense. You get to see birdies. I love seeing guys make birdies, especially when it's like it wasn't so easy like it was that day at the John Deere where scoring was crazy low. There was a little bit of bounce in the greens. You're seeing these guys hit great shots and hole great putts. And yeah, there are some scoring holes, but you know, there's some difficulty to the golf course at the same time. And watching Dustin Johnson start off 11 under through 11, this is a video game, right? This is literally like a video game. And to see someone shoot 27 on the front nine of any golf course, it's unbelievable. And Scottie Scheffler gets almost nearly forgotten through the afternoon because of what DJ did. It was unbelievable.
I'm very good at golf video games. I don't think I've ever gone 11 under through 11. Like it's unreal. I mean, he was 6 under through 4. He was 9 under through 8 and he was 11 under through 11 before he pars 7 straight holes coming in. And you know, the temperature on Twitter was like, that was the most disappointing 60 I've ever seen in my entire life, which maybe disappointing is not the word. Anticlimactic might be a better word for it, but like I think someone correctly said on the telecast, maybe it was Nick Faldo, like if he started with 7 pars and ended with this flurry of going 11 under in his last 11, we'd be losing our minds.
Yeah, which is absolutely true. Yeah. But I understand the narrative on Twitter where this is one of the most disappointing 60s you've ever seen. And that's true for so many reasons. One, you don't see a lot of 60s. There's not a lot of opportunity to see a 60. There's also not a lot of opportunity to be disappointed in 60. Yeah. And when you're so far out in front, Dustin is 59 is easy. It's like a guarantee he's going to shoot 59 with all the, with the scoring holes that he has in front of him. Now, yes, the second nine is definitely the harder side, but DJ took it apart yesterday. And yesterday's round, he handled it great. He finished birdie eagle. We're thinking, oh, DJ's got, he's got 54 in the bag. Who knows how low this could go, but yeah, you know it's going to beat 59. And you start seeing tweets come out like, imagine what Scottie Scheffler is going to feel like when he shoots 59 and it's not the lowest score of the day.
And I had some great tweets teed up, ready to go. Historical context. I had the stats ready. All I need you to do, DJ, is make one more birdie coming in. I had them.
And you now got, they will, you got 18 there.
Now they will die in my draft folder.
What do you think about the decision he made on 18 to lay up?
Okay, so it's obviously hard for us to know what the lie was, what the situation was. So he had 212 to the hole, according to Shot Tracker. He was down in that like little awkward, it's described as a native area on Shot Tracker. It's just kind of like a weird little area. So with, and it's an awkward stance. I understand that. He also wants to at least give himself a look at 59, right? I mean, if you go long and left, you don't have a chance at it. So like, I get it. It felt like Dustin Johnson, who is one of the best, I think, in the world at always keeping the pedal down, I thought he let up a little bit, which is rare. For any other guy, I would have been like, okay, like he's playing to a wedge in, he's going to give himself a look. I just thought that was very anti-DJ to do that.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, you're talking about, what are you hitting, 200-yard shots, basically?
Yeah.
Into that. DJ with, from 200 and... I thought, 212 yards to a back hole location. I mean, you're talking about probably an 8-iron to the front of the green, maybe a 9-iron to the front of the green or somewhere short over the water. I mean, you're getting over the water with nothing. And the lie is that burnt grass. The thing you can't tell watching on TV is how severe the slope is. You can tell that, okay, like that lie as it relates to the grass was very doable. And I think he could definitely get a 6-iron, probably a 5-iron out of there at least. But to get, you know, to see a the ball, how far below it, his feet was it? That's really where it comes into question. And so I give him a little bit of a pass. He's also has been working on his wedge game, and it over the past couple of years has become a strength of his. So I understand it. But you're right. It feels kind of like, well, this is DJ. We see it. DJ is the most aggressive player, one of the more aggressive players on tour. That's at least how we typically think of him. So, it was a little strange to me, but still, what a round.
He left himself with 82 yards after the layup. He hit that shot to 23 feet. He rolled it by, did not obviously convert the birdie putt. He taps in for par for a round of 60. A couple of good notes here from producer Jacob. If DJ would have shot a 59, we would have seen 15% of all the sub 60 rounds on the PGA Tour in a single day. That's wild considering PGA Tour has been around for a bajillion years. And also, no one else has shot lower than a 64 this week. So while scoring is low, guys are flying up the leaderboard. I mean, Danny Lee shot a 64 on Friday. Cam Davis has gone 64, 65. This is still so much better than that. Like these two rounds that we were able to witness, and thank goodness, Greg, imagine if they were going on at the same time. Could you imagine? Thank God one was in the morning and one was in the afternoon.
Yeah, it is helpful. Although having two of those in the afternoon would have been nuts. But I'm looking at his stats here. I'm looking at the stat page, and I am appalled at this number. 9.553 strokes gained total, and it's second. It's second for the day. I don't think we'll ever see that again.
Not in a, probably not in like a regular event where they're all PGA Tour professionals. It would take something very, very drastic. So DJ, unfortunately for us, does not capture the 59, but Scottie Scheffler did. So I'm going to talk about that in a second. But I want to remind you Of course, sports are back, and the new Stitcher app is one of the best platforms to consume sports podcasts. They even have a new collection on their homepage of the app for the return of sports, where our friends from the CBS Sports Podcast Network, Fantasy Baseball Today, and the Pick Six Pod are both being featured. Stitcher also makes it incredibly easy to build playlists, love that, of your favorite podcast. Download Stitcher for free in the App Store today. Greg, Mr. 59, Scotty Scheffler, does get the job done. And this was like, I was like, this has been a great day already. You know, like I didn't need anything else. I didn't need the DJ 59 watch from his fourth hole, but Scotty Scheffler gets it done. And let's talk about 18, because he played it the way I wish DJ would have, which is just kind of like, get it. There is a, you know, there's that kind of landing area out front left of the green. It's safe over there. You don't have to hit it as far to that back pin position. He ends up, you know, Scotty leaves himself with what it was. He pulled putter and he leaves himself with basically 90 feet that he putts up the hill to four and a half, and then he knocks it in. Yeah. So like
3.5 feet, really smart play. And you could see, if you look at it on the map here, you can see how far back that flag is. And that's what I'm saying about that. You got, if you're a DJ, you have 212 to the hole. You have, you're under 200 yards to the front edge of the green. And then there's still another probably at least 15, maybe 20 yards short of that before you get into penalty area. So doing some math on that, I wonder if DJ maybe would have rethought that and said, okay, I can get this to the front edge of the green, and it's going to be a whole lot easier. But Scotty, on the second nine's a lot harder, don't you think, this week, Rick?
And yeah, so it was playing, I looked earlier, it was about a shot more difficult on the back.
And he went out, birdies 10 and 11, and then 12 and 13 are tough. 12 especially. 12 is just a brutal hole. He makes par there. But then 14, 15, 16, all birdies, and then the easy birdie on 18. That second nine was just ridiculous to me. I mean, it's so impressive.
Yeah, I thought the way that he strategized 18, not only to give himself a shot at 59, but to almost ensure it, where you just have to get down in two from 80-something feet. Now, of course, because golf is not easy, and it's never easy, Greg, he leaves himself with 4.5 feet for 59 on 18. Like, I would be like on the ground in tears if I had to putt from 4.5 feet for a 59.
What do you think would be, what's more difficult, putting from 4.5 feet for 59 or putting from 4.5 feet to win a PGA Tour event?
I mean, statistically, a 59 is much more rare. There is a winner every week on the PGA Tour. There are not 59s every single week. So you are doing something. So I think that's the crazy part is, a couple of things. There is such a historical precedence for a 59 because there's now been 12 of them. And that's incredibly rare. It is, you know, basically the rarest thing you can do, but also like, it would be a lot less cool if the number was like 61 or like 50, you know what I mean? Like the fact that it breaks in from 60 into the 50s, it's so much cooler. You can say you shot something with a 5 in front of it.
Yeah, there are thresholds, right? It's like all of you listening, you've gone out and you're just trying to break 80. And right, and 80, the something 9, those thresholds, whether it's 99, 79, whatever the number is, 69 or 59 if you're a PGA Tour player, these numbers are extremely rare and impressive thresholds. And for some reason, that zero, just it seems to have a lid on it. And it's really hard to do. It's hard to break through. But guys are starting to do it more and more often. And it just speaks to the talent that we have out on tour. These guys are so good. You have no idea how good that round is.
Let's talk about that. Because Al Geiberger, who shoots the first 59, to Chip Beck, the second 59, was a difference of 5,237 days in between those. Then the next one from Chip to David Duval, you know, 2,600 days. And then the next one after that, 4,100. But in recent years, these have gotten more common. So, I mean, just recently, I mean, between Justin Thomas and Adam Hadwin's 59, there was only 9 days. They were 9 days apart. They're a week apart. Then, you know, Snedeker does it 572 days later. Kevin Chappell does it 393 days later. And then Scotty Scheffler does it 343 days later. So we're talking now, we're seeing them once a year, maybe once every 2 years. My question is, Greg, why?
These guys are good. That sounds so, they're getting so much better, and the training is improving. The equipment is improving. Colin Morikawa has worked with his coach Rick Sessinghaus since he was 8 years old. This is so, to really answer your question, why? Because of Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Because Tiger Woods was on TV when he was 3 years old and went on to have all the success that we know and love to talk about. And so the parents of juniors and juniors watching Tiger want to be like him. So they play the game of golf. They train for the game of golf. Training regimens change. The mental game has become so much more important in your preparation for a tournament, in preparation for a round. And these players are coming. Scottie Scheffler he's a rookie. He's a rookie on the PGA Tour, and he shoots 59 in his very first year on tour. These players are coming out of college or coming out of whatever AJGA tour, wherever they're playing, they're coming out ready to go because they've been training for it. They've been training like the tour pros of yesteryear for their entire careers, and it just continues to improve. And what do you get? You get peak performance, and they're not afraid to perform at an extremely high level. So there are a ton of reasons why this happens more and more often. But it speaks to their talent and it speaks to their preparation, because it almost seems like everybody out there is capable of doing it, which is a really, really interesting thought.
Yeah, it's a scary thought. It's terrifying that these guys can do it. You mentioned how young he is, second youngest player to ever shoot a sub 60 rounds. I believe the youngest was Justin Thomas. Jacob's going to give me a head nod. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. 13-1 putts on Friday for Scottie Scheffler. He only hit half the fairways, but something that Kyle and I were talking about on HQ is like, you can miss the fairway as on the right holes in the right spots. There's a couple that'll jump up and get you, but otherwise you're pretty good. But I will say this. We might not be like, if you start listing the guys that you think could shoot a 59, you should probably get to Scottie Scheffler more often than not. I mean, he's eighth on tour in birdie or better percentage, so you know he can make birdies in bunches. Obviously, it's a lot to shoot a 59, and he usually offsets them with bogeys, but like, this kid's a prolific birdie maker.
You've been talking about this all year long on our Tuesday Daily Fantasy podcast, and as we have those discussions, you remark, it seems almost every week, he makes a ton of birdies and eagles. He's great to have on your fantasy team, and it seems like your secret has just been outed. Like, it's not a secret anymore. Now everybody's going to think of him as a birdie and eagle machine. So I think some of your advantage and my advantage of having Scottie Scheffler on your team at a lower own percentage, I mean, that might go away. So he's definitely going to become a more popular player now.
We'll find another guy. We'll find somebody else who always outperforms their finishing position with fantasy points. We'll find somebody. Anything else on Scottie Scheffler? I mean, I guess, you know, we have the conversation a lot, like, who's the player of the year? Is there anybody even competing with Scottie Scheffler for rookie of the year? I mean, he's got a handful of top tens. It was mostly damage in the early part, the fall swing. Now with this, I mean, I know it's corny to say like this round could have solidified it, but like people, like humans vote for this. Like, you know, when you talk about the NBA MVP or rookie of the year or whatever it is, you usually look for a defining moment. Well, here's your defining moment for Scottie Scheffler in route to being your PGA Tour rookie of the year.
Especially with rookie of the year. I do believe that a round like this can vault you to the front of the minds. Now, the interesting thing about rookie of the year this year is there are a lot of players. Maybe a lot is unfair, but there's kind of some cloudiness in who's a rookie and who's not. So it's not like, okay, Scottie Scheffler got drafted this year, Colin Morikawa and Matthew Wolf got drafted last year, but Victor Hovland is a rookie this year. So it's very strange to me that Hovland is a rookie and Morikawa and Wolf are not, even though they've basically played together every week. So that's a little cloudy. So the one thing that I worry about with rookie of the year is, are players going to really know, I guess, do they get a card? I don't know how that works. Do they get a card? Is it multiple choice?
If that's they'll name finalists. They'll name finalists for it.
So it's probably Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland.
Right. I forgot Victor Hovland. So Victor Hovland, Maverick McNeely, Harry Higgs, Matthew Neesmith, Will Gordon, actually Eric Van Ruin, Tom Lewis. Those would all be rookies that you could consider for
And that clarification happens for one reason. Because Wolf and Morikawa last year got their card. They locked up their PGA Tour card. So that becomes their rookie year, whereas Hovland had to go to the Korn Ferry Tour Finals and earn his card for this year. Thank goodness we had one for him this year.
Seriously. I want to talk about Tiger Woods, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. All right, Greg, the big cat, he's going to make the cut on the number 3 under, which is what he started his Friday round at. Seemed to be pretty stuck in neutral. He had a couple of like bad chips. I mean, it wasn't pretty for Tiger, but he made the birdies coming in that he needed to make sure that he plays on the weekend.
Yeah, it hasn't been the cleanest of performances. I would say, well, yesterday's round impressed me. Today's round did not impress me nearly as much. He was a little off with his irons, but there's good news. He's healthy and he's playing, and we're going to see him play again next week, which I think is a very optimistic sign. But we haven't seen Tiger yet this year really get on a roll. And I feel like that's kind of lurking. It's around the corner, but he needs to get some things figured out with the flat stick and really get on a roll where you see Tiger make 5 birdies and 6 holes. And that's how he contends in events like this. He goes out on a Thursday and he shoots 2-3 under par. And then on Friday and on Saturday, you'll see him really string together birdies. You'll see him go on a rip of a birdie run. And that's what he's kind of done through his career to position himself right near the lead heading into Sunday. And we haven't seen him get there yet. So unfortunately, we've had a lot of golf from Tiger that's not meaningful. We've had a lot of, as some people call it, coffee golf with Tiger, where it doesn't really matter. So I'm looking forward to next week when there's no cut. Hopefully Tiger can kind of assert himself and hit some shots that are meaningful on the weekend. This weekend's going to be another one where he's 12 shots back, and there's not going to be a lot of high pressure moments for Tiger this weekend.
Yeah, he has gained strokes putting in each of the first 2 rounds. That's a good sign. Did not play as well on Friday. Very much looking forward to seeing how he performs on the weekend, which, by the way, you can watch coverage of the 3rd and 4th rounds on CBS this weekend. Streaming begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday and 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Watch on the web at cbssports.com, or you can watch on your mobile device in the CBS Sports app, or you can watch via stream on OTT devices on the CBS Sports app on Roku, Apple TV, or Fire TV. FedEx Cup playoff implications, Greg. Scott Stallings, he gone. Jordan Spieth, he's out. Jordan Spieth's out. Is that right?
I believe
Jordan
so.
Jordan Spieth is out. Wow, okay. Shane Lowry, I mean, here we go. And another FedEx Cup playoffs, or excuse me, another tour championship without Jordan Spieth. We don't have Kyle here to talk about it, but yeah, that's it for him.
Good riddance. I mean, Jordan's got to take a couple of weeks. He's got to work some things out. And I know he's been in this kind of situation for 3 years, but when Jordan misses right now, it's really big. And that's what's preventing Jordan from being the Jordan we know and love. He's missing way too big right now, typically to the right off the tee.
I could have sworn he was 3 under. He is not. He is 2 under and he's out. So another guy who misses big, Greg, but he's going to miss big on the Champions Tour. Phil Mickelson, very low key, just kind of blurts out on Twitter that he's playing the Champions Tour event at Big Cedar Lodge next week. It's the Charles Schwab Series at Ozarks National. I mean, I don't know how excited I am about senior tour events and Champions Tour events. I'm kind of jacked for this. I want to see what Phil does.
I like watching PGA Tour champions. I really enjoy it, but especially when you get a guy like Phil in the mix. And Phil is using this to prepare himself to garner some confidence heading into Wingfoot. It's very clear to me. So I love that he has that avenue where if Phil isn't in an event or doesn't qualify for something, he can go play PGA Tour champions and kind of keep his game sharp. So, but Phil, this is Phil loving the game of golf. He loves competing. He can't get enough of it. And I mean, I would hope to see him get a win this week.
Well, I always like to see how these guys, even though they're over 50 playing on the PGA Tour, how much noise they can make on the Champions Tour. And Ernie Els, remember, he made his debut earlier this year. He won in just his third start. So maybe Phil can match or beat that. Let's talk about winners for this week, Greg. Dustin Johnson, your prohibitive favorite. He is plus 163 on William Hill. The next best odds are Scottie Scheffler at 7-1. Do you want to touch anybody not named Dustin Johnson?
Man, I really like Dustin, of course. He seems motivated. I think the PGA Championship really aggravated him, but I will say Harris English looks really good. And if you were going to just kind of throw another dart at the board and hope, I wouldn't look too far past Harris English because the guy just continues to play great golf. And, you know, maybe it's not a winner's check. Maybe it's a top five bet, but I think Harris English and Louis Oosthuizen also, he plays great at TPC Boston.
Yeah. The argument is like, there's a 59 out there or like, you know what I mean? Not that, but like, is there a 61 out there on Saturday? Like maybe there is, like, I don't know. I just watched guys go 59, 60 on Friday. Maybe there's a 61. I think it would be a tough task for, like, I would love to see Daniel Berger win this. He's probably too far back. He's five shots back, but like matching 66s and he's been awesome. Like I don't hate it, but I just really think that Dustin Johnson might just run away with this thing.
I'm gonna give you the one guy that I would really watch out for. He kind of reminds me of Dustin in some ways. Matthew Wolf. The guy's mature. He's really maturing. Today's round was a little sluggish, but he still gets in at, I think he was 2-under today. So he's 10 at 10 for the tournament. I'd keep my eye out for him because he's got real firepower. But yeah, DJ's looking good. But do you believe in leaderboard gravity? You think these guys have a tendency of coming back? You believe in the whole hard to follow up a great round with another one? Or are you thinking Dustin's going to go Jim Herman on us?
I think Dustin's immune to a lot of that. I do think, like, he's obviously not going to shoot a 60 on Saturday, but like he could go out and shoot a 65 and I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I don't think that, like, we've seen him run away and hide in golf tournaments. Like, yeah. We've seen him win by five or six shots. It doesn't really matter. So if his name was not Dustin Johnson, and from what I've seen in the last 13 years, I would say, yeah, he probably comes back to the field, but it would have to be. He's just hitting it so good. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye out for it. Obviously there is firepower behind him. There are low scores out there. So we're going to pay close attention this weekend. We'll be back, obviously breaking it all down. Let me thank you, Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me on Twitter at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He's suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable. They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.